Wednesday the 3rd of September, Gimel Elul, Rabbi Yossi Cohen, Ezehu Chochum Haroet HaNeirot.
We've entered Chodesh Elul. Rishonim are full of different remodim to do with the month of Elul, what Elul stands for, but every single one of the Jewish months has a meaning as well, a translation as well. The word Elul, the Rishonim points out, Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshim points out that the word Elul means, the translation of the word, is to investigate, to inquire, to spy out. Any time in Tanakh you find the word Vayasur Esaoret, or Vayatir Esaoret, they spied on the land by the Meraglim, whenever you find that root word, Tofresh, Vayasur Esaoret, anywhere in Tanakh, you'll always find that the Targum there translates it via Elulun. That's what the word Elul means. Elul means to investigate, to inquire, to spy out. That's what the word means. And our avoda during these days is to try and not just be spies on the outside and seeing different towns and countries, whatever it is, to be the spies of other places or other people. We have to look inwards and investigate ourselves, check ourselves, make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, rectifying what we're not supposed to be doing, and really making sure that what is right and good, what we think is right and good, is really truly right and good. So what I want to share with you today is a very fascinating Gemara in Nidzaf Lamed Amud Beis, which, this isn't a shiur in sonography, but the Gemara actually amazingly 2,000 years ago tells us exactly how a fetus exists and appears inside the mother's womb, and exactly which positions it lies. And this is obviously thousands of years before the invention of ultrasound, but as we're going to see, this is not just a biological lesson of how people were created and how the baby exists inside the mother's womb. We're going to see this as Divrei Torah. And in fact, the Maharal, in his Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, he analyzes this particular Gemara, and with the next half an hour we'll emit Hashem say what he says to the best of our capability. Let me first quickly read through the Gemara, and as we'll see, this is perhaps the best way of investigating into ourselves, knowing exactly who we are, what we are, where we come from. When we understand where we come from and how we were created, we'll understand where we're supposed to go and how we're supposed to live our lives. The Gemara Nidzaf Lamed Amud Beis says as follows: Dorash Rabbi Simloi Darshan. And immediately the Maral readily points out here, Dorash Rabbi Simloi. It's a drosha. Everything I'm about to say to you is Divrei Torah. How can you compare, how can you describe the fetus in the mother's womb? Now the Gemara is going to give a number of positions, and as I say, we'll analyze them according to the Maral, what they mean afterwards. Says the Gemara, the first position is Lepinkas Shemekupel. The baby is created in a doubled over position. A pinkas literally is a writing tablet, a shopkeeper's ledger. And the Gemara's first description of the baby is, it's a doubled over position, similar to the once upon a time shopkeeper's ledger, the once upon a time shopkeeper's writing tablets. Like a credit book, doubled over. And as we know, the fetus on the ultrasound, the fetus is in a doubled over position. Like a pinkas shemekupel. Position number two, says the Gemara, Umunach Yodov al Shtei Tzedov. The baby's hands on the baby's two temples. Position number three, says the Gemara, Shtei Atzilov al Beis al Kavoisov. So that's the continuation. Munach Yodav al Shtei Tzedov, the baby's hands on the baby's temples. Shtei Atzilov al Beis al Kavoisov, the baby's two elbows are on the baby's feet. So it's similar to the on the crash landing position they try and show you on the airplane before you take off. Basically, your hands are on the temples, the elbows are on the feet. Continues the Gemara, Ubeis Akevov al Beis al Kavoisov. The baby's two heels are tucked against Beis Agvoisov, which means the baby's to the rear end of the baby. The baby's two heels are tucked against the baby's buttocks. A student of mine actually drew this picture. You can't see it on the tape, obviously. But this is a similar position to what we're discussing here. Doubled over position, the baby's hands on the baby's temples, the baby's elbows on the baby's knees, and the baby's heels are tucked against the baby's rear end. I'd love to demonstrate this, but I'm scared of pulling a couple of hundred muscles doing so. But that's basically the position the Gemara describes. Continues the Gemara. V'roishe munach loy ben birkov. The baby's head is tucked in between the baby's knees. Upiv sosim, the baby's mouth is closed, the tibure pasuach, and the navel is open. Sex, intricate details of how you know the baby now is inside the mother's womb. The baby's, again, the head is tucked between the baby's knees, the baby's mouth is closed, and the navel is open. The baby eats what the mother eats, the baby drinks what the mother drinks, and the baby does not produce any waste, any excrement, because if it would, it would cause pollution and could cause danger and even in fact kill the mother. And then the Gemara says, "V'kivin sheyotze la'avir ha'olam," as soon as the baby is born, there's a switch. Niftach ha'sosum, that which was closed until now, in other words, the mouth opens up. V'nistam ha'posuch, and that which was open till now, i.e. the navel, all of a sudden closes up. Shulmolei kein, if not for that, the baby will not be able to survive for even one moment. And the continuation of this is the famous Gemara that every child is taught kala teira kula inside the womb, etc. But let us focus now on these fetal positions, and again, seeing that it's the month of Elul, we want to try and investigate who are we, where do we come from? And if we understand that what each and every one of us experienced has tremendous meaning, then we'll understand how to live our lives, and basically, as we're going to see, this situation we're going to describe now is not just something which is an incredible creation. Phenomenal chokhmah in the creation of a human being. But as we're going to see, it's going to show us direction and how to live our lives. The mother's womb is not just a base of medrash of Torah where every fetus is taught kala teira kula. It's actually a base of medrash of Musa to guide us and show us exactly how to live our lives. Dorash Rabbi Simloi. This is a drosha, and this is Divrei Torah, and the Maral found it fit to discuss this Gemara and explain it in his Shabbat Shuvah drosha in Prague. So the first position the Gemara describes is the baby's in a doubled over position, like a pinkus mekupal. That's the lashon of the Gemara, a pinkus mekupal, a shopkeeper's writing tablet. So the Maral, a pinkus is very simply a credit book. Every credit book has two sections to it. One section is I owe you, and another section is so and so owes me. Ani chayav leploini, ploini chayav li. So the Maral, the fetus lies in this doubled over position, like the once upon a time Pinkus, to remind him or her or us, all of us, that we are a Pinkus. Histakel b'shloisha devorim ve'en atzabol yidei avir. Da malamal malamincho ayin roe oizen shomas v'chol maasecho b'sefer nichtom. Every action that you do is written down in a sefer, in one of two sections, and the baby has to know that. When the baby is created, we have to look back and realize it then as well, I suppose, that we're going out into a world now where you're going to be doing millions of actions, and realize that every move and every thought and everything you say and do is written down, and it's going to be written down in one of two sections. Either in the section of, hopefully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chayav Li, so to speak, he's going to reward me for everything that I did, Kol Ma'asecho B'Sefer Nichtovim, or if Chas V'Shalom we do something wrong, then it's going to be written down in the section of Ani Chayav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have done something wrong, I have sinned, I need to do tshuva, and I have to rectify this particular action. In one of those two sections. And therefore, the first position is the baby is in a folded position, as the Gemara says, it is like a pinkus shemekupal. That's there to remind us that we are a living pinkus. Everything you do is written down in one or two sections. Continues the Gemara. Ubeis shtei yodov al shtei tzedov. The baby's two hands on the baby's temples. Beis shtei atzilov al shtei akvoisov. The baby's two elbows on the baby's feet. So the Maral, if you look at this picture of a person with their hands on their temples and their elbows on their feet or on anything solid, that is the classic thinking position. That's the classic. You can see pictures of great Gedolim, of Chaim Oizer, this famous picture of Chaim Oizer Grudzinski holding onto his temples and looking over Gemara. Yeah, person who's philosophizing. It's a famous type of position that a person puts a hand on their temples. In fact, in proven that if a person wants to concentrate better, then slightly pushing on the temples can actually help. If you do it too hard, you can knock yourself unconscious, but a bit of concentration can be gained by putting your hands on your temples and your elbows on something solid. Obviously a baby doesn't have a temple, it doesn't have a table inside there, so his, so to speak, support system is going to be his feet. So says the Maharal, this classic thinking position is there to remind the baby and us that in life there are a lot of challenges out there, and if a person wants to make sure that they don't come to sin, then think before you do things. Think before you go places. You go places with your feet. So when you put your hands on your temples and your elbows on your feet, what you're basically symbolizing here is that you have to put thought into your actions, into where you're going. Give thought before you do or say things. And if you do that, you will not come to sin so quickly. So the Maharal, these two positions we've discussed so far, i.e. the folded writing tablet and the position, the classic thinking position, these two positions are there to remind the person not to come to sin. If you remember that everything that you do is written down in one of those two sections, and if you think before you do things, what the Yetzer Hara loves is impulsive behavior. And thought beforehand, just a pause, a thought beforehand, can make an incredible difference and can stop the person from doing an impulsive move. So those two positions, says the Maharal, remind the person not to come to sin. In this womb, in this incredible Beis HaMedrash, Swami points out that the word for the womb is Rechem. Rechem is the same letters as Ramach and the same letters as Mochel. Inside the Rechem, the Ramach Ivorim are formed. When we look carefully inside what happened in the Rechem, we will know how to behave Mochel in the future, we'll know how to run our lives. So these two positions remind us not to come to sin. But says the Maharal, we were not created in this world to live lives of just not sinning. We weren't created here to live for 120 years just to be Sur Meira. One has to positively serve Hashem as well. It's not enough just to constantly avoid sinning. You are here to positively do mitzvahs and serve Hashem. And therefore, says the Maharal, the next position is that the two heels of the baby are tucked into the rear end of the baby. As the Gemara says, the shtei akevos al beis agvosos, the two heels are tucked against the rear end of the baby. So the Maharal, this position is the classic bowing position. The fetus, when a person bows in Yom Kippur, what we do is we get on our knees and our heels are tucked against the rear end. That's the classic bowing position. So the Maharal, if you want to describe a position of certitude, this is the position. This is the classic position of saying, so to speak, without saying a word out of your mouth, but demonstrating, I want to do your will. I will do anything you want, and I'm completely at your service to positively serve you. So the Maharal, this is the classic thinking position, and therefore the baby lies also with shtei akevov al shtei agvoisov, the baby's heels are tucked against the baby's rear end, which is a position of balance. We're not just here not to sin, we are positively here to serve Hashem. The Yerushalmi, interesting Yerushalmi, the Vilna Gaon's brother, brings it in the Mala Sater in the name of his brother, the Vilna Gaon. There's a very shocking Yerushalmi which says that if a person came to this world and is only loymeid, shereel manos lafes, he's just going to learn Torah, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do the mitzvahs. So the Lashon of Yerushalmi is very sharp. The Yerushalmi says, it would be better that the mother's placenta would have splashed in his face at his birth. Very shocking statement. It would have been better, says the Rishalmi, had the person only came to this world just to learn and not to do, it would have been better that during the birth the mother's placenta would have splashed in his face and killed him. Says the Vilna Gaon, his brother quotes him, that it's not just a drastic statement, it simply means what it says. Inside the mother's womb, the child being taught kol ha-Torah kol by the malach. So if you just came into this world to continue learning, you'd be better off staying there. That's what the Yerushalmi is saying. That the mother's potential is splashed in the face, you just stayed where you were. But you didn't come here just to continue the learning, you came here to actually translate that learning into the world of Maaseh. As the Shlach Kodesh brings down in one place, we have 10 fingers which parallel the Aseret HaDibros, and the one with the thought the Aseret HaDibros would be in your head, you're supposed to learn the Torah. But no, they're in your hands, which are the Klei HaMaaseh, to remind you that you can't just do it on an intellectual level, you have to bring it down to the world of Maaseh. The baby's in a bowing position to remind him, her, and us that we have to positively serve Hashem and not just refrain from sinning. My name is Shir, Ezel Chochem Aroyah Sanoilod, if I dare may say that perhaps, and there's a proof from the Gemara in the Dorm that one can say this, that perhaps we can translate this Mishnah in another way, not contradicting the original way of understanding those words. Ezel Chochem Aroyah Sanoilod always means a Chochem looks and understands, thinks what's going to happen in the future. But perhaps you can say here that Ezel Chacham Oreis HaNoila, the Chacham doesn't just look to the future. He looks Noila to the way he was born. If you look to how you were born and how you were created there, then you will understand how to live your future life as well. We find the Gemara says that Yosef said to his sons, Shnei Bonecha HaNoilodim Lecha Beretz Mitzrayim. So the Gemara very clearly, HaNoilodim Lecha means they were born. So you can see the word Noila doesn't only mean the future, it means the past as well. Ezel Chacham Oreis HaNoila, the Chacham sees not just the future, he sees where he came from. Where every one of us existed for 9 months in that incredible, incredible environment, where we are taught exactly how to live our life. Continues the Gemara. Now, before we see these next three positions, a simple marshal, a child that has never in his life been shopping. A responsible parent will never send the child shopping before they warn the child of the possible dangers that are around, right? The child must learn not to cross the road by yourself, don't speak to strangers, don't touch a chevet chashud. These kind of things, you have to beware of the possible dangers that are there. Similarly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never have sent us out into this dangerous world had he not prepared us in this incredible environment, in this incredible rechem, had he not prepared us for the macha. He must obviously have taught us in that incredible environment, which we're in the middle of discussing, how to live our lives, how to avoid sin, and how to avoid the major dangers that could, chas v'shalom, terminate a person's life, spiritually, maybe even physically. And as we know, there are three tremendous dangers that could prevent a person from existing in this world. There are three things, says Chasei Chazal, Shloisha Dvorim, which, if a person is not careful, they are capable of throwing hakina, v'atayv, v'akovod, moitzinus, odom, and olam. Kina, tithe, and kovod can cause a person to be thrown out of this world and, chas v'shalom, not be able to exist in this world. So the Maharal, it's impossible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't prepare us in this preparation environment to be able to challenge and to be able to find the correct defense mechanism against kovod, tithe, and kina. Otherwise it wouldn't be fair. No responsible parent would send their child shopping. Similarly, the Havdol Erev Havdolot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never send us out into this world without the necessary defense mechanism against the big three. So the Maharal, the next position the Gemara describes is that the baby's head is between the baby's knees. It's in a doubled over position. The baby's head is in between Umunach Roshoi Bein Birkov. It's the baby's head is between the baby's knees. So the Maharal, this is the remedy to the danger of kovod. Kovod is something which can get to a person's head and can destroy people. The Masoret Yisroel has a list of the greatest of the great that fell to the dangers of kovod. It can get to a person to a degree that they just completely lose themselves and can end up sinning terribly and just completely living in a world which can cause disaster. So the Maharal, what is the antidote? How do we defend ourselves against the dangers of kovod? So the Maharal, look back, look where you came from. Your head was between the knees for 9 months. Doesn't mean that all 9 months was exactly the same position, but the head is between the knees. When a person's head is between their knees, they're looking at the ground. And when a person looks at the ground and they remind themselves where every person eventually ends up, that very quickly takes care of kovod. When a person looks at the ground and reminds themselves that a person is eventually going to be inside the ground, and all of a sudden the kovod comes crashing down. The graveyard is full of indispensable people. And basically, says the Maharal, that is the healthiest and quickest and easiest way of taking care of kovod. Remind yourself, your head is between the knees, you look at the ground, and everything all of a sudden comes crashing down into perspective. Rabbi Shvab Zichatzad Baruchah from Monsi, as a bocher, he was in the Mir Yeshiva. He was asked by Rosh Hashivas to learn with a weaker bocher. And every so often he was seen going into his pocket and pulling out a matchbox, looking inside, closing it, and returning it into the pocket. And at one time, a couple of boys from the Yeshiva, they were very, you know, wondering what on earth could he possibly have inside that matchbox? And they decided one day, L'shem Shemaim, they're going to discover what he has. And when he was sleeping, he went into his jacket, pulled out the matchbox, and they saw, lo and behold, there was earth inside the matchbox. So So they asked him when he woke up the next morning, why on earth do you have earth inside your matchbox? And shyly, modestly, he said that the Rosh Hashim has asked me to learn with a week of Brochim. And every so often, when I learn with a week of Brochim, I realize, you know, I must obviously be one of the outstanding Brochim in the yeshiva. And that immediately gets to my head. And to put things into perspective, I just have this matchbox of earth that reminds you where I'm going to end up. And that very quickly takes care of the feelings of guidance that I had. The famous story of Chassid Sherebbe, where two Chassidim were arguing terribly over a certain field. One said it's mine, the other said it's his. So the Rebbe said, right, we're going to the field and I'll decide whose it is. So the Chassidim said, there's nothing to the Chassidim said, there's nothing to see in the field. So that's a muddy field, you're not going to see who it belongs to. Take me to the field and I'll decide who it belongs to. So off they go, trudging into this muddy field, and the Rebbe's walking and walking and walking. About 200 meters into the field, it's muddy all over, and all of a sudden the Rebbe gets on his knees and bends down and puts his ear to the ground. The Hasidim are looking at each other. Maybe the Rebbe's found Pirah. What's going on here? And all of a sudden he gets up and he says to him, you're not going to believe what just happened. What happened? He says, you know, you claim the field. You claim the field. The field all of a sudden just said to me, he said, you know, these guys are crazy. He says I belong to him, and he says, just tell both of them that before they know it, they'll both belong to me. And all of a sudden, the two of them came round and sorted out the machlokes the other way. So, says the Maharal, when the head is between the knees, the eyes are focused on the ground, and that way, a person can take care of the dangers of comments. Continues the Gemara. Opid sosum v'tibure pasuach. The baby's mouth is closed and the navel is open. The Maharal, this is the protection, this is the defense mechanism against taiva. Taiva, which there's all sorts of taivas in the world, but one of the central taivas is taivas ha'achila. And the Sforim write that when a person's controlled to a degree in taivas ha'achila, then more often than not they can be controlled in other taivas as well. The mouth is closed and the navel is open. And as the Maharal points out, and one has to be careful how to explain this here. Basically what he says is as follows. We're using taiva ha'achila as a moshul for all other taivas as well. The mouth is closed and the navel is open. This is the classical position or the situation of a person who's chas v'shalom on an IV, on a drip. When a person's on a drip, right, the food does not go through the mouth. It goes through the drip. In other words, you get what you need, but you don't particularly enjoy doing it. The pleasure of eating is when the tasting palates chew into the chocolate bar, you enjoy it, and then you also get what you need, but you enjoy it along the way as well. When a person is with the mouth closed and the navel is open, then you are being sustained what you need, not only what you want. Now, why I say this is a delicate point is we're not malachim, that we are only going to have what we need and not enjoy our food, right? The Rebbeinu Shlomo made fruits and vegetables and all sorts of nice things with nice texture and nice taste for a reason. And we're not malachim, okay, one can work on the inyan of achila, etc., not to be too much of a glutton, etc. However, on our madrega, let's bring this down to how we can live our lives in a normal way, we have to generally have a focus that my general focus of taiva, whatever it may be, is a focus of needs rather than constant wants. It's not always going to be chasing wants. With tithes, it's going to be generally focused on my needs. I need to go on vacation. I need to go for a walk. I need to go for a swim. I need to go shopping. But if you have that extra kavana that I'm doing this to shame Shemayim, to be a better Jew, a healthier Jew, then you've switched into a mitzvah all of a sudden as well. The mouth closed and the navel open is basically screaming the message, needs rather than always chasing wants. And when a person does that, then all the physical actions as well have a ruchni sticker angle to it as well. Great Rishon Rebbe Zechatzal Gebrocha once pointed out, if you make a list of all the physical things that a person does in this world, and you make another list of all the spiritual things that a person does in this world, you'll find a very fascinating thing. The physical list will sound something like this. Achila, Shtia, Sheina, Bia, Schia, Knia, that's the physical list of what people do in this world. The spiritual list, Torah, Mitzvah, Kedusha, Avoda. So the original Rebbe Zechariah Baruch, you will notice, fascinatingly, every one of the physical lists without exception, has a yud in hainit, achilot, shtiyot, sheino, diot, every one of them. And every one of the spiritual list has a vav in hainit. Torah, kedusha, avodah, mitzvah. Together, yud ke vav ke. That's what the idea of leyached shem Hashem boyin means. That we combine HaKadosh Baruch Hu into everything that we do, and then by doing that, you've switched everything in the world, even the physical actions. I need a vacation, right? I need to be able to continue serving Hashem, I need a vacation. So if you do that with that kavanah, then you've all of a sudden transformed it into a mitzvah. So here, says the Maharal, the mouth is closed and the navel is open. That is basically stressing the point that I'm doing things not because always I want to do things, it's because I need to do things. And with that mindset, in everything that you do, a person can find the correct defense mechanism against the dangers of taiva. This is the idea here. Again, there's obviously great levels of controlling oneself in these things. You know, these Israeli lebens, which come from the Tnuva milk company. Never used to finish a leben. He always left over a bit. It wasn't just for self-control. But the reason why he never finished the leben is because he used to say, the milk company Tnuva is not going to tell me how much to eat. You buy a leben this big in Israel, so therefore that's what you eat, right? You go to Americans this big, so that's what you eat. So, you know, you realize you're being controlled by the food company deciding how big the packet of nash is, or how big the leben is, or whatever it is, and that's what you're going to eat. He was a person who was completely in control of whatever he ate. But again, these are madregas, but the general focus has to be, says the Maharal, that we have to look back and realize where we came from. The mouth is closed and the navel is open. The general focus has to be needs rather than wants. The next vision the Gemara describes is that oichel mashim oichel, as the baby eats what the mother eats, and shoyti mashim oshoyti, and drinks what the mother drinks. Says the Maharal, this particular position is the defense mechanism against the third big danger. We've dealt with kavod, we've dealt with taiva, kina. Jealousy is something which plagues the world from crib to grave without exaggeration. Tiny little babies can be jealous of their mother holding someone else's baby, and one can walk into an old age home and you can literally see people in their late years of life still having certain senses of jealousy, and all the way through this as well, through life we have this problem. Jealousy is a major, major danger. How do we deal with jealousy? So we only have 3 more minutes, let me just quickly say this. Jealousy, basically says the Maharal, remind yourself where you came from. You ate what the mother ate, you drank what the mother drank. In other words, you lived in your own bubble, in your own muzzle. That's what you had, that's what was like a pipe from the Ribbono Shel Olam going directly into you. Exactly what you need, you had, you couldn't see out of it. You couldn't see out of that bubble that you existed in for 9 months. No one could see into you, no one could take anything from you. What you were supposed to get was directly given to you from above. No one can take what is supposed to be yours, and what is not supposed to be yours isn't in the parsha at all. You don't see it, it's not yours. And basically what we're saying in a nutshell is that to work on not having jealousy, one has to work on emunah. But if you know, that's the underlying middle. If you work on emunah and realize that everything you have is destined for you and perfectly tailor-made for your needs, no one can take it from you, don't look out of your bubble, this is your bubble, this is your muzzle, this is how you look, this is who you belong to, this is your family, this is your children, this is your whatever it is. And when a person develops and works on that, then they can deal with the dangers of kin. And finally, the last mission the Gemara describes is that the baby never produces excrements, never produces waste, because if it would, it would kill the mother. So the Maharal, what the Gemara is saying here is that the baby lives in a pure environment. The baby lives in a pure, unpolluted environment. Because if it would be polluted, it could kill the mother. This is to teach us that wherever we go in life, any place you go, any school your children go to, any business place a person works in, any shul we daven in, we always have to create an environment where kedusha can take place. It is forbidden to say a bracha or divrei Torah in a bathroom because it's a polluted environment. You can't say davar shebe kedusha there. Similarly, just like in the mother's womb, you lived in that pure environment. It didn't produce any waste, because if it would, it would destroy its environment. Similarly, every person has to create their own environment, wherever it is, that it should be a place where kedusha can always happen. Mitzvahs, Torah, brachas, kedusha, it should always be a pure and clean environment. just want to finish off. I heard from the Vosna Zerangazim that Ramesh Shapiro, Zechatadi Baruchah, the very first and unfortunately his last Siyam HaShas before World War II, Ramesh Shapiro, he was Messiah, the last Perik Nida, which is where this Gemara is to be found. The last Perik Nida is Perik Tinoikas. And Ramesh Shapiro said as follows, Hadron Aloch Tinoikas, Usli Kalom Masechus Nida. So Ramesh Shapiro, Zechatadi Baruchah, Hadron Aloch Tinoikas. If we will go back and be like Tinoikas, Shalei Tamu Tam Chet, will be like we're saying here, the holy environment of how we were Tinoikas, then Slik Alom Masechet Nida, the long Masechet of Golot and Nidu Ben Agoyim will leave us from here. Amen.